Amen, amen. Well, I invite you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and you're going to find that on page 1023 in those black Bibles that are under the chairs there. So if you didn't bring a Bible this morning, those are gifts to you. If you don't have a Bible, please take that with you. 1 John chapter 4. It can be a little confusing finding 1 John because in the Bible, there's also the book of John, and then there's also 2 John and 3 John. So we're looking for John that has a little one in front of it. And to help you, you can just turn to the right page. If you want to grab that black Bible underneath the seats there, it's page 1023. And as you're turning to 1 John chapter 4, I want you to imagine with me just for a moment. One of these new believers that comes to faith in Christ here at Real Life Sango. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe that'll be you next week. Maybe that'll be you in 6 months. As you wrestle with God and the claims of what it means to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. But I want you to imagine one of these new believers being fired up and so excited to follow Jesus and hungry to know him and to grow in their relationship with God. And they get home and it's late one night and they turn on that channel, maybe TBN, that has preaching and worship. And, you know, it's like a different preacher every night of the week. And they're just kind of scattered all over the United States and world. And the person turns on the TV, and they're eager and they're hungry to grow in their relationship with God and to know God more intimately. And so they find a channel where someone's opening the Bible and they're teaching and preaching, and then they just begin to take notes and write down everything that the person is saying. Maybe you found yourself in that place late at night. Maybe you're not a new Christian. Maybe you've been a Christian for 20 years and you've been watching the late night TV preacher. And you think to yourself, there's something that seems a little off. Should I be listening to everything that this person is saying? It sounds a little different than what, there's something that just doesn't seem right. Well, you know, this has been a challenge for the church since its inception. There's been teachers to come forward that were false teachers. And we see this all through the scripture. Almost every New Testament letter in the Bible addresses false teaching. Now, I wish this wasn't the case. I wish we could just turn on the TV and just listen and just trust that everything that anybody opens a Bible and says to us from the Bible is true and accurate and worthy of my trust and my faith. But it's just not the case. And so, John had the same situation going on in his early church setting. And so he wrote specifically to address this kind of thing. Now, they weren't watching TBN late at night. But rather, they had prophets. They had people preaching in the church. And John has a very specific instruction for us. So if you're taking notes, the text doesn't always break down this easy. But we've got what, why, and how. Are you ready for it? What, why, and how. I hear you. Thank you, brother. So let's read together in 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Would you pray now that the Holy Spirit would come and teach us from his word? Father, we pray you'd give us clarity. You'd speak to us personally. Lord, we are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love how verse 1 opens up. Did you see that? Beloved. Would you just like pause everything in your life right now and hear God speak that word to you? Beloved. Maybe you grew up and you never heard anyone say, I love you. But right now, the God of the universe writes through the sacred scriptures, through John's writings, years and years and years ago to communicate a very clear message to us. You are loved. And this is so freeing, friends, because all the world says that we need to accomplish this and we need to do this and we need to look like this in order to reach some sort of status, in order to be approved by people, in order to have an identity. But here's the good news. You don't have to achieve an identity. Your identity is given to you by God. You are the beloved children of God if you're in Christ. This is so freeing, and maybe that's the only word you need to hear this morning. You're loved. Don't you just love that? Beloved. I just don't want to rush over that because inside of every human heart and every human soul, there's a longing to be loved. It's why many of us have broken relationships with spouses is because we were looking for a supernatural love in a natural person. But only the God of the universe can satisfy our longings for a supernatural love, for he is God. So friends, here's the deal. You may, like, the soundtrack of your life may have been like the old U2 song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. You know what I'm talking about? Well, here's the deal. This morning, you can stop looking. The love of God is available to you. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to wonder about it. In Romans 5:8, Paul wrote and he said, God demonstrated his own love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So maybe you've been growing up and like everybody that was supposed to love you in your life didn't love you. And so when you hear the fact that God loves you, you're like, yeah, whatever. Prove it. And it's almost like God anticipated that we would have pain and brokenness so that he wrote in Romans 5, God demonstrated his love. He proved his love by sending Jesus to die on the cross. And here's the reality. Don't miss this, friends. Don't miss this. Like we're one word into the sermon this morning. It's beloved. But don't miss this. Everything going on in your life could be saying to you, you're not loved by a God who's holding this universe together. So you look to the cross and you see there is no clearer picture of love than God give his only son as a sacrifice for you. That's why Jesus died on the cross, is so that we would have no doubt that the God who made us loves us. You can stop searching. You can stop searching and you can rest in the perfect, unfailing, divine love of your Maker. Beloved. Can we just pray and go home now? That's good, right? Well, that's not all John had. He said, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every spirit. So late at night when the TBN preacher comes on, don't believe every spirit. What should we do? But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So this is the what. If you're taking notes, this is the what that God has for us. And the what is, don't believe every spirit. Instead, test the spirits. So that's what we're to do. We're not to listen. You're not to listen to everything that I say and just digest it and just assume it's all true. You're to test the spirit. In other words, every preached message has a spirit behind it, driving it. And it's either the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. And John goes on to describe it's either the spirit of God or the spirit of the Antichrist. It's either the spirit of God or the spirit of Satan, the devil himself, who wants to destroy our lives. And so doesn't it make sense? I mean, doesn't it make sense that the one who wants to destroy us would raise up false teachers and false prophets to try to draw us astray from the truth? I mean, that's what the devil did himself when he was trying to tempt Jesus. Jesus was fasting out in the wilderness, and the devil twisted scripture. Did you know that? When before Jesus begins his ministry, he goes out and he fasts, and the devil meets him there. And the devil, trying to draw Jesus astray, uses scripture to tempt him. He twists scripture. And so this is common. In other words, we don't need to be naive. We need to expect it. We need to anticipate it, that there are going to be false teachers. This is the answer to why. Why should we test the spirits? We see this in the rest of verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I just hate this. I honestly just hate this. I hate that there are many false prophets in the world. But it's true. And you cannot believe everybody that opens a Bible and preaches to you and teaches to you. You can't believe everything that's coming out of somebody's mouth. You've got to test it. Why? Because there's many fakes. There's many false prophets out there. So can I just say, everybody for the rest of Real Life Sango's existence, every time somebody opens the Bible and teaches from it, you need to test the spirit. You need to test what's being said to see whether or not it's from God. Don't come in here naive, just assuming everything that you hear is from the Lord. Why? Because there's an enemy who likes to twist things, who likes to get his message out there. So why are we to do this? Well, all through the scripture, Jesus says this. You don't have to turn here, but I'm going to turn to a couple of passages and just share these with you. Jesus over in Matthew 7. I didn't do Bible drill when I was a kid, so I'm a little slow in my Bible. So, like, if you've got to rock the table of contents, no shame. Rock the table of contents. I mean, we want to get a little, you know, better with how we navigate our Bible, but no shame. You just start from where you are, right? Chapter 7. Verse 15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. What does that mean? That means they look like a trusted preacher on the outside, but on the inside, they're a wolf. And Jesus says, beware of false prophets. He says, you'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So somebody preaches a dynamic message and then lives a really unholy life. That's fruit. So somebody preaches on the love of God, and they're naturally an angry person. That's the fruit of their life. You test their fruit. You look at what flows out of their life, not just what flows out of their mouth, right? That's what Jesus says, beware, there's going to be many others. And then over in Mark 13. Mark 13, verse 22, you can just write this, you know, just mark this down if you want to look at it later. Just listen, because I'm going to jump to a couple of others. This is Jesus again, and Mark records Jesus saying, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. So, we're talking about spiritual realities here, like the unseen world. And we kind of like to just kind of build our cocoon life in and focus on the earthy, right? What we see, what we touch, what we smell, what we taste. But what the scripture teaches us is that there's an unseen world, and the unseen world is a world of power. And so what he's saying here is that not only will there be false prophets to arise, there will be false prophets, check this out, that actually conduct healings. And people are healed. And yet they're a false prophet. You say, how can that be so? Well, there's a spiritual realm that's filled with power. And so Jesus breaks it down and he says, desiring to lead faithful followers of Jesus away, they'll demonstrate powerful realities, hoping to trick us. Hoping to allure us to say, wow, somebody was healed. That has to be from God. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Jesus is saying, no, someone could be healed and it could be an evil spirit healing the person. I know, that blows your mind. And you're like, I'm going to have to think about that for the rest of the month, right? That's good. That's good. But that's what Jesus is saying. Why? Because there really is an enemy, there really is a devil, and he really does want to destroy our lives. And he'll use anything that he can to draw us away, even if it's something powerful that makes us all go ooh and ah. You see it? Over in Acts 20. If you're just joining us this morning, we're not usually like in 15 different Bible texts. We usually just kind of unpack one. But this is such an important issue for new Christians and old Christians alike that I just wanted to share this. And even for those that are considering the claims of Christianity, because here's the deal. Some of you, one of the reasons you have yet to trust in Jesus, that you're not yet there, is because you've actually watched some false prophets, and you're like, if that's Christianity, I don't want to have anything to do with it, because that guy's not practicing what he preaches. You're observing the fruit in somebody. Maybe it was the preacher in your church that you grew up in. And it's just like, man, that dude ran away, you know, with the secretary. You know, if that's Christianity, I don't want to have anything to do with that, right? Do you see what I'm talking about? Well, that's not Christianity. It's a false prophet. If their fruit isn't matching their message. Now John's already made it clear we're not looking for perfection, we're looking for direction, right? But people's lives are clearly characterized by love and holiness or by sin and selfishness. Right? There's no middle ground. Either we've been transformed by Jesus and we're his servant and we love him, or we're just playing religion. In Acts 20, watch it there. I'm about to walk off the stage. Acts 20, 28 to 30. Luke records the apostles, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." There was a guy when I was about 20, and he sat behind me in church one day, and he said, "Are you Freddie T. Wyatt?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I'd like to meet with you." I began to meet with this man. He was super passionate about God's word. But he believed some kind of weird, twisted things. And so here's real life scenario. He had me in his home. I'm sitting in his kitchen, and he's got our pastor on a cassette tape. I know. He's got our pastor on a cassette tape. You know, parents, explain to your kids what that is later. And he's trying to combat what our pastor was saying. And our pastor was spot on, and he was way off. And so he says, "Listen to this." And I listen. And then he hits stop. And he starts proclaiming why what the pastor said was off. And that man was in our church, sitting behind me. And that person may be sitting behind you today. I hope not, right? Like, we're like 7 months in. Surely we ain't got wolves yet, you know? Right? But how naive we would be to assume that we don't, with all these warnings. If I had time to tell you all the crazy things this guy was saying, but you know what? He had a following. He had a following in the church. He was passionate, he was articulate, he was smart, he was intimidating, and people just followed him down a pathway that was not of the Lord. 2 Peter 2:1. Same guy, when he knew I moved back to plant a church, he sent me a book. It's like 20 years later. He's still at it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So we've got Jesus, we've got Paul, and now we have Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction." Do you hear what he's saying? It's easy to test the spirits that are outside the church, isn't it? It's easy to test the spirits outside the church, isn't it? How do we do it? That's the third question. Look at verse 2 and 3. Back in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 2 and 3. "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God." So on one level, he's saying, here's how you test the spirits. If they're saying that Jesus Christ is from God, is the Son of God, that he's the Messiah, he's the Savior, Jesus is God, that's how you test the spirit. Now, what he's not saying is that just that somebody just gives lip service to that, right? Like, at the beginning of their message, they say Jesus is from God, and then they can just kind of spew a bunch of heresy and a bunch of crazy stuff. No, He's saying we've got to take an intimate look at all that Jesus taught. At all that Jesus taught. This is how you test the Spirit. You know what Jesus taught. And when people say something contrary to it, you're able to test it according to what Jesus taught. Indeed, the sacred scriptures themselves, the whole Bible, is God's word. It's the word of Christ. Jesus prayed to the Father, Lord, your word is truth, referring to the Old Testament. Your word is truth. Sanctify them according to your truth. So the sacred scriptures, the Bible, is the word of Christ. So the way that we test the spirits is we know God's word so that when something is said or when something is lived out, we're able to discern. That's a false spirit. That's a false spirit. You may be thinking, well, that's a lot of work, isn't it? Well, yeah. How badly do you want to walk the right path and not be led astray by like evil preachers? You've got to know God's word. You can't sit as just a passive recipient of everything that's taught. You've got to be an active participant in your relationship with God, knowing what God has said so that you can test the spirits. That's how you do it. I don't know if you've ever heard of Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer is a very, very popular Bible teacher. And for years as a pastor, people would tell me they're reading a Joyce Meyer book. And I'm just like, no, please don't. And the reason that I didn't want people reading Joyce Meyer is because she was a proponent of what's commonly known as a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Now, what is that? So this is John writing to an ancient church. How does this translate today to us? Well, today, one of the most prevalent kind of heresies in the church, false teachings in the church, is a teaching that's a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, which says, if you trust in Jesus enough, if you have enough faith, you'll have good health, you'll have a lot of wealth, and you'll have prosperity. Now, people often don't say it that way. It's often more subtle. It kind of comes through. And so you hear a lot of good teaching, and then you hear this other teaching sprinkled in. So, you know, it's used to. About 20 years ago, you could turn on TBN, and 9.9 preachers on the TV show, 9.9 of them were like false teachers. But today, it's like hit or miss. Like, there's some good teaching on there today. And there's some false teaching on there today. And why these reputable Bible teachers decided to jump in with like TBN, I'm not exactly sure. I think that they were cooperating with the spirit of what Paul said, is if the gospel goes out, I rejoice. Even if it goes out for bad motives. But nonetheless, it's a mix. So you've got to test the spirits and don't believe every spirit. So Joyce Meyer, for years, she has been teaching, if you trust Jesus enough, you'll be healthy, wealthy, and you're going to get a promotion in your job. And just recently, on Instagram, of all places, Joyce Meyer said this, I'm glad for what I learned about prosperity, but it got out of balance. I'm glad for what I learned about faith, but it got out of balance. Explaining, every time someone had problems, it was because they didn't have enough faith. If you got sick, you didn't have enough faith. If your child died, well, you didn't have enough faith. Well, that's not right, she said. No kidding, Joyce. She goes on in the video to say, there's nowhere in the Bible where we're promised that we'll never have any trouble. I don't care how much faith you've got, you're not going to avoid ever having trouble in your life. That's true. But that's not what she preached and taught for 20 years. And so here's like a little like 30-second Instagram clip where she's kind of like somewhat coming clean. Like she doesn't like back up all the way on the prosperity piece. But some of you have read her books, right? It's like your favorite devotion book, sitting on your nightstand. Joyce Meyer and Paul, and rather John writes, and he says, don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits. So how do you test the spirit? Well, you've got to know God's word. We were living in New York, and we had three kids, and we were in a one-bedroom apartment. And we're laying in bed one night, and Susan tells me, she kind of gives me these three reasons why she thinks she might be pregnant. And so I said, you know, just small apartment, three kids, New York City, right? And I said, go to Walgreens as soon as you drop Jack off from school and get three pregnancy tests. And she said, one will do. I said, get three pregnancy tests. And so she did. And can I just pause right now and just say, there's people that I love deeply in our congregation that desire passionately to have children. And I just want to pause and pray for them in this moment. And that may be you, and I may not know that about you. But I know it would be an encouragement to them, for their whole church family, to be praying for them in this moment, because this is a difficult deal, when, especially when people are not prepared for a child and God blesses them with one. And people long to have a child and God has not yet blessed them with one. Would you pause and pray with me now? Father, we pray in Jesus' name and in the power of your Holy Spirit that you would bless every family that longs for children, God. You would bless their womb, Lord, that you would grant them children and you would grant them quickly, Lord. God, we give this to you, and as a church family, we unite our hearts together and we say, oh, God, bless families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. So Susan went to Walgreens and she got three pregnancy tests and she came home and she took one and it was positive. And she called me and said it was positive. And I said, take the other one. And she's like, it doesn't work like that. And I said, drink some water. Come on. Drink some water. Drink some more water. Come on, drink some more water. And she took the second and it was positive. And she took the third and it was positive. And can I just tell you, like, you know, like, we had just settled into a groove in New York City, and it was like we were finally in the neighborhood where we needed to be in, and we were rubbing shoulders with the kinds of New Yorkers that if you're going to plant a church in Manhattan, like we were in a groove, and a fourth kid was not in the plan, and it was not helpful to the mission. It was not exactly what we were thinking, and so it was quite urgent that we got a clear and accurate test, because I needed to know, are we bringing a fourth kid into this tiny apartment? Every baby toy that we had gotten out, right? It was like we were free from every diaper. It was glorious, you know the feeling, maybe. And here comes the fourth. And I got to tell you, we're grateful. We're grateful. We didn't know what God was doing at the time, and we wept. But we urgently needed. If you're on the flip side and you're longing to have a child and, and God's not yet blessed you with that, every time you do a test, it's like you're urgently wanting to see the result, right? And John says, don't believe every spirit, but test them. Test them. So it doesn't mean that, like, we just become, like, skeptical every time the pastor opens the Bible. No. You don't want to swing way over here and become like Sherlock Holmes, where like you're thinking, there's an evil spirit somewhere in there. But you don't want to be naive to where you just receive it and you just take it on and you're taking notes. No, you want to be balanced. You want to know what God has said and you want to test every teaching that you hear according to what you know. And then if you don't know and you hear something, you're like, I've never heard that before. Then you come and ask your pastor. You go and ask your community group leader. You go to reputable people that you know and love and trust that can guide you in the sacred scriptures. You know, all this crazy stuff, like, it can cause you to be a little nervous, can't it? Like, wow, you're talking about evil spirits healing people? And it can cause you to be a little afraid, but John doesn't want us to be afraid. I want you to look at verse 4 with me. Verse 4. He says, little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them. What is he saying? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of false prophets. Don't be afraid of their healings. Don't be afraid of whatever's going on. Don't be afraid. He said, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. He who is in you, the Spirit of God, is greater than he who is in the world. Listen, when you become a Christian, one of the most amazing things, it's a little weird, but it's amazing, is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you, never to leave. To comfort you, to convict you, to guide you, the Holy Spirit, and greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So you don't have to be afraid of false prophets. You don't have to be afraid of false environments. You can rejoice that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And then he continues his encouragement and just gives a little clarity of explanation. He says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. In other words, it may be that one of these false teachers on TBN has the biggest church in the nation. What, They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. So, like, great growth is not always a sign of Holy Spirit work. It can be. It was in the book of Acts. When the New Testament church was birthed, 3,000 people came to Christ in a day. Right? But it's not always the case. And indeed, we should expect large gatherings that are not of God, that are professing to be from God. We should expect that. That's what John's saying. He's just clarifying. He's helping us understand. He says, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So John is saying it shouldn't be confusing if you know God's word. This is why we should devour the sacred scriptures. This is why we should read the sacred scriptures more than we look at Facebook. This is why we should read God's word more than we scroll through Instagram. This is why we should read God's word more than we read the news. Nothing in your life should compete with the reading of the sacred scriptures, not just for knowledge, but for relationship, a love relationship with God. Do you see it? Do you see it? So here's the what. Worship team's going to come, but here's the what. Don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits, right? Here's the why. Many false prophets are out there. So you can't believe everything that you're hearing. And here's the how. You test it according to what Jesus has said. You test it according to what Jesus' word has said. If Jesus is Lord, then his word, listen to this. If Jesus is Lord, then his word is authoritative. Not our experience. The sacred scriptures are authoritative for our life. Not our hunch, not our feeling. The sacred scriptures are the standard. They're the authority. They are what govern our life. Do you see it? It's not a little feeling. It's not a hunch. It's not your preacher. It's God's word. Right on? Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us the way you do. And we thank you, God, for your word that just speaks to us clearly. Don't believe every spirit, but test them. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to do that, that you would give us a greater hunger for your word than we have today. Lord, some of us, we confess our apathy. We confess our laziness. Lord, some of us, we would say that we're not a reader today. And we pray that we would just throw that off, God. We would not let those be excuses to not know your truth, to not know what Jesus has said. So we pray for your help, God, because we need it. We pray be gracious to us and give us a passion to know you and to test your spirits. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is all about Jesus, that your Holy Spirit exalts Jesus whenever he's at work, that he exalts Jesus. So, Lord, we fix our eyes on King Jesus today, and we celebrate him. And it's his name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's stand to our feet, and let's celebrate the great grace of God together.